Welcome to Racecast. Now, we obviously didn't have a race this week, but there has been some pretty big rumours circulating the paddock, and we have also had an attack on a single driver, which we're going to delve into. But thanks for being here. Give us 5 stars wherever you're listening, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Deezer, Google.
Deezer?
I think that's a platform that we stream on.
Oh, really?
Which no one's listening on that, let's be honest. If you're here on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, do give us 5 stars because it makes a massive difference to the podcast and we really appreciate it. Also, if you want to get involved with us on social media, just follow us. Search Racecast on whatever platform you're on. Twitter, Instagram. I was going to say Snapchat, but I meant TikTok. TikTok. We will be there. Yeah, come and join the party. Obviously, we do have a big race this weekend, which we are all looking forward to. I think, in my opinion, it always provides a very good race. I mean, particularly the last 2 years, we've seen Max and Lewis get very close to each other. It's been two very intense races. But I've always found it to be a good track with, always a little bit of excitement.
We've seen cars flying.
We have.
Was that last year? It was last year, wasn't it? Or the year before? Alonso went back a stroll.
That was last year. That was last year, because they were new teammates and that was the big thing. No, it's a great track, but we're obviously going to talk all about Circuit of the Americas in just a moment. You're going to hear a car noise and then we're going to commence with the podcast.
All right, guys, welcome along. Hope you're all good. So, yeah, quite a bit to talk about in the sense of there's a lot of weird stories going on, because I'm going to start off with this first one. Christian Horner warned that Max Verstappen may side with Helmut Marko amid Red Bull F1 unrest. So I wasn't aware of this, but apparently it is a thing that Christian Horner basically has been trying. He's been trying to get rid of Helmut Marko for a while.
Are you surprised?
No, not in the slightest.
He's like the racist granddad that you know you're going to have to introduce your girlfriend to at Christmas and stuff. And just to confirm, I don't have this. It's a stereotype, a well-known stereotype. One of my granddads, he's very dead. The other one...
Just that escalated quick.
Well, I mean, he can't be racist if he's dead.
No, but it's just the fact you said very dead. What's the difference from dead to very dead?
I mean, he's incredibly dead. Yeah, no, you wouldn't believe it. He's so dead.
How has this gone from that? Okay.
No, I just, you know, I wanted to... Let's get back to Helmut Marko. Like, he's like the friend that you have that you're just like, oh my God, like, do they have to come out of us tonight? Like, I'm going to be in a public setting with them. I know they're going to be loud, outrageous. You never know what's going to come out of his mouth next. So Christian Horner, from a PR perspective, is probably thinking, like, he's a fucking nightmare. He's like 412 years old now. It's just getting a bit... It is getting a bit outrageous, and you know, things have got a lot worse over the past few years. And then he made the Checo comment just a few weeks ago, which was kind of like, yeah, like, just kind of confirmed everyone's suspicious. Like, all the subtle racism towards Lewis, if that wasn't enough, now you've just, like, been openly xenophobic too, towards one of your own drivers. So, from a PR perspective, he is a nightmare. Granted, he's done a pretty good job over the years, but everyone's time comes.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take this very much with a pinch of salt, because this is, you know, the comments have been made by Ralf Schumacher.
He's a bit of a nobody, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say nobody, but he is
a nobody. That's why he's still talking in the press.
Yeah, true. He's basically saying Horner needs to be careful, because if tension starts to rise, he fears that Max Verstappen will side with Helmut Marko. We've also got to remember Helmut Marko is the one who promoted Max Verstappen from Toro Rosso into Red Bull. He was the one who was ultimately the lead for that. So
I'm just going to say I totally disagree with what he's saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, let's be fucking real, right? Max Verstappen is not going to leave Red Bull at this point.
No.
Helmut Marko being there is not like a condition to him. Do you know what I mean? No. It's not like, well, if he's not here, I'm going to go. Where's he going to go? Oh, okay. Do you want to go race for Ferrari? You're not going to win another title.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to Mercedes, who, and McLaren, they'd probably take you. But realistically, Red Bull will just probably then swap you for Lando, and Lando will win in that Red Bull because Max, unbelievable driver.
Who knows?
Yeah, because that's true. He'd probably still...
Lando Norris would...
His teammate would still beat him.
I'm sure first. Logan Sargeant would come into that Red Bull seat and get a win before Lando Norris
does. That is probably true. But you get my point. He's not going to leave. At this point, his loyalty is to Red Bull. Yeah, it's not to an individual that pulled him through the ranks. Like, you know, it's we're not in school here. He's not gonna rip his tie off just because his friend's been sent out of the class or whatever. Like,
no, and like I said, I take it with a pinch of salt. So, I think.
Well, what the fuck does he know anyway? How does Ralf Schumacher know this?
Yeah,
I do think we got to a point where ex drivers say some of the most ridiculous things, and it's just like, why are we even listening to them?
But I remember I've heard it before, though, not from Ralf Schumacher, but I've heard it before that there's a bit of tension between Horner and Helmut Marko.
That wouldn't surprise me, no. Because Horner is the man in charge, but he's got absolutely zero control over Helmut Marko, who runs his mouth every week.
It's very strange, isn't it? Because for Christian Horner, he's a team principal, but he has no... He has no shares in the in Red Bull, does he? Not shares as such. Unlike Toto Wolff.
Well, Toto owns it, but I think Christian is the CEO of Red Bull Racing. That doesn't mean he owns it.
No.
It just means he is the top dog, but he's obviously got an answer to the shareholders. And then, obviously, there's a parent company in Red Bull who are the people that employ Helmut Marko. To our understanding, sounds like a bit of a dodgy cost cap avoidance thing here, but yeah, so it's almost like, you know, like you're a boss at work.
Yeah.
But it would be like
me coming here and not being a boss.
Well, it's like the company sending in like a consultant. And it's like you're still the boss, but the consultant's there and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what Marco's relationship to the team is, but he is a PR nightmare. Like, I can't believe Red Bull haven't actually wanted to get rid of him because the guy tarnishes the Red Bull name.
It's horrible, isn't it?
I mean, he says stuff and then Red Bull don't even come out and defend it. So then it makes you question Red Bull as a company.
Yeah.
But then I think Red Bull are an unbelievable company.
Hmm.
I've done stuff out in Dubai with Red Bull with Theo before, and it's just like the things he says do not reflect a lot of people's interpretation of that company, but they don't do anything to condemn it.
No. So the issue is, although they're not like that, you can't tell because they're not backing it up with defending it, are they?
Yeah, yeah. They're not coming out and being like, that is not the views of Red Bull. But if you're a young driver,
they will.
Well, yeah, and then...
That's the difference.
Who was it? Yuri Vips?
Yuri Vips, yeah.
You know, it's granted, like, he used the N-word on stream, like... That is bad. I don't remember the exact context of it, but I genuinely think it's far less worse than what Helmut Marko said, because using a word in... And I know words carry a lot of meaning, but... He wasn't using the word in a way to attack someone's race or whatever, and I'm not like excusing the use of the word. Like, the word has hateful connotations attached to it, no matter in which way it's used. But if you look at what Helmut did, it was to actually attack someone based on their culture, based on their ethnicity, and it was actually hate speech. So I know that, like, at surface level, people would be like, oh, well, that's so much worse. But yeah, think about it. Is it actually? Because use of words, their context is what's important.
I just think from a Red Bull point of view, they would get... You want to see consistency. So with Yuri Vips, I think his punishment was fair because
yeah,
they're making a stand. They're going, we don't stand for this. The issue is, you've got to be consistent with that. So when Helmut Marko came out and said all that stuff and it caused a massive uproar because he's just basically attacking Perez and his culture and everything, I would expect Red Bull to have the same consistency with their punishments, whether you're an 80-year-old man or you're 19, 20, 21-year-old, or 30, 40, 50, whatever.
Whether you're the janitor or whether you're the CEO, like,
you've got to keep the standards.
If anything, like, Helmut Marko has more of a responsibility because he's a much bigger role.
And he's a face of it. Exactly. Even though he's not employed by Red Bull, as what they say, but...
So we talk about Yuri Vips and his punishment being reasonable. Well, actually, comparatively, it's completely unreasonable. Do you know what I mean?
Well, compared to when other people get away
to Helmut Marko, yeah. You know, you can look at it and be like, oh, they've set the standard. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Oh, and then Helmut Marko says this. Oh, what? Like, is it because he explicitly didn't use, like, racist terminology? Yeah. Is that the only reason you haven't said anything? No. So, like, essentially, like, you can say, oh, I hate this type of person. But as soon as you use like a racially motivated word against them, that's crossing the line. You hate them. Oh, that's fine. Oh, they're lazy because they're this. Fine. Just don't call them anything.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely fine. That is the standard that it sets.
I think that's the only thing that kind of let Red Bull down recently is their lack of consistency with their.
Yeah.
If you're a global brand, it's not like, you know, you're a small brand, you're one of the biggest brands in the world. Red Bull carries so much weight across the whole world, not just in motorsport, in every you know, extreme sports, everything like that. You've got to set those examples.
It's not even like Yuri Vips, who is a young driver who, you know, like, he's young, but young people say stupid shit all the time. Do you know what I mean? Helmut Marko's not.
He's an 80-year-old man.
Yeah, that very seasoned in dealing with press, public relations. Also, you know, he's an old man. Like, he should know better. Young kids running their mouths and being idiots is excusable. It cost him and he paid the price, and we stand by that. That was a reasonable response from Red Bull.
Yeah.
But to then have... like such a variation in your standards for someone who should be held so much more accountable is just, yeah, so weird.
Yeah.
So it's not a surprise Horner wants him gone.
No.
If that is true, I mean, again, we don't know if that's true, but it would make complete sense.
Yeah.
Because as much as Horner pisses me off to the max, I don't think he's necessarily a bad guy.
No, I don't think he's annoying as fuck, but I don't think he's a bad guy.
No, he is annoying as fuck. But...
I absolutely despised him in the 21 season.
Yeah.
Well, not despise, I mean, or hate, because that's a really strong word.
I did.
But I very much disliked him.
I hated him. No, he was awful. But, yeah, to say that he's, like, fundamentally a bad guy just wouldn't be true, in my opinion.
No. But anyway, let us know what your thoughts are on that. Let's move on to more inconsistency news. The FIA, I mean, when I thought that they couldn't come out with more ridiculous things.
Ever since 21, they've decided they can consistently review decisions after they've been made.
Ah, when it suits them and what decisions.
Yeah, of course.
So for you guys who don't know, so in Qatar... Lewis Hamilton took off George Russell, ended up ruining his race. He then decided to walk along the track, which is not allowed. He got fined, I think it was like €35,000 or dollars or whatever.
$50,000.
But I think some of it is only...
It got like $25,000 got suspended or something, yeah.
So anyway, you thought, okay, fine. They punished him, they fined him, yeah, like absolutely fine.
That's a poor move, you know. That was a bad... judgment call by Lewis, and
100%
could have ended horribly for, you know, George came around the corner not too far after. Yeah. So
that was a cool shot though. That was a cold moment.
Yeah.
However, the FIA have come out a week and a bit later and gone, do you know what, we've reviewed it again and we're potentially going to punish Lewis Hamilton more because as a role model we don't want that being set. So
this is interesting, and can I tell you why?
Yeah.
Why this is really interesting. Lewis is a role model when it suits them. When he's trying to be a role model for the LGBTQ community, he's crossing the line. He's insulting the beliefs of different regions around the world. We do not support this. They're not allowed to do that. When he's trying to encourage everyone to support the Black Lives Matter movement or trying to get people of color into sport, he's not backed by anyone. But
his Mission 44, all of that stuff he does behind the scenes.
But all of a sudden, now he's broken the rules and they want to set a standard.
Yeah.
He's a role model. What, like, no, you just want to make an example of him. And
yeah,
is every single one of those drivers on the track is a role model in some form. And I hate this. I've always hated the concept of, oh, they're a celebrity, they're a role model, they assume this. No, they're race car drivers. Lewis Hamilton actively sets out to be a role model. Mm. And that's fine. You can see that in his behavior. He says that, I want to change things. Great. They can choose to be role models, but he shouldn't be treated differently because of that. Like, in terms of the rules being applied to him, Max Verstappen is just as big as a role model in the default sense.
And then can we say then, so in the 21 season, after his collision with Lewis Hamilton in Monza.
Yeah, when he walked off.
Didn't he walk literally across the...
I'm pretty sure Sargent did it.
Yeah. Didn't they just walk... Where's... Again, this goes down to consistency. The FIA, since the 21 season, and don't get me wrong, they had their times, but the lack of consistency in their decision-making is so bizarre. Like, why they've set out their rules, that's it. They always go, oh, they won't change their rules once they've don't change their, you know, once they've put everything in place, that's it. But when it suits them, oh, they can actually change it now. Well, okay, that's fine. But are you doing this because it's Lewis Hamilton? And are you doing this because he's a bigger role model? Or are you doing this to actually try? I mean, I saw a great tweet and going, somebody went, oh, do you know what? I saw Lewis Hamilton, one of the biggest F1 drivers in the world, crossing a road when there's cars. Shit, now I've want to go down to, you know, the M25 and see if I can... No, it's not going to make people change their mentality.
That's the thing. What do they think is genuinely going to change? Like, what do you want to... Do you want to behead Lewis? Like, is that what you want to do? Mm. And then, are they trying to set the example to young drivers? Or are they trying to set it to... You know, is this a stop, look, listen campaign? What the fuck are they trying to achieve? It's weird. And they do have an obsession with Lewis, whether you're a Lewis hater or a Lewis lover.
Yeah.
You can see that he gets treated differently, and he always has been treated differently. Whether that's because of the colour of his skin, I don't know. We will never know. You can make your assumptions. Maybe they'll turn out to be true. Maybe they won't. But it is bizarre no matter which way you look at it.
Yeah, I like, and we've discussed this, haven't we? The FIA girly on Twitter.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant. Some of the tweets. So, with regards to this, so the FIA one week on from the incident has announced that it wants to look at Lewis Hamilton's Qatar GP crossing incident again because it believes the incident was much more serious than perhaps originally thought. Key motivation is not in handling out a bigger sanction for Hamilton, but in whether penalties generally crossing a live racetrack should be much greater. So,
in fairness, it wasn't a live racetrack. It was under yellows.
And the safety car was out.
Safety car was out, so...
The FIA notes that Lewis was apologetic during the subsequent stewards' hearing in the incident and acknowledged that he was crossing was a serious safety breach. However, in view of his role model status, the FIA is concerned about the impression his actions may have created on younger drivers. So... She then goes on to say, review the thing all you want, speak to Lewis, blah, blah, blah. But if the FIA really cared about younger generations and setting examples, they, for one, wouldn't rob drivers in broad daylight.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true, isn't it?
And she said, The FIA has a standard set of rules for Formula One drivers and a set of specific rules for Sir Lewis Hamilton.
But we talk about them expecting drivers to follow the rules. They can't even follow their own fucking rules.
And I think, yeah, I just, yeah, I don't know. I think
it's just a weird one. Like, it makes no sense, because I can guarantee you 100% of people had forgotten it had even happened.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I forgot it happened.
Yeah. It's only them bringing it back. Now they've made it a thing. Now it might be a bit more impressionable, because
the only thing people are going to remember is when we go and watch the Netflix series Drive to Survive next year, and you see this like cool shot of George Russell going behind him.
But you'll be looking at the shot, you won't be thinking, oh, Lewis crossed the track.
No.
You'll be thinking, oh, that's a nice shot. Like, if that was any other driver, we would not be in this situation.
No. And that, it's just a really, really bizarre one. Like, I don't quite, there's no,
it's an agenda. Let's be honest. It is an agenda.
But what are they trying to achieve from it?
They don't like that Lewis is so progressive and he is trying to change the sport. Like, if they care about setting standards, why do they not listen to Lewis and take on his advice on how to make the sport more diverse, more accessible for young people from poorer backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds? Why are there no women in the sport, or why is there such a small amount? Why are they not trying to change all that? If they are genuinely concerned about people being role models, surely the sport should, or F1, the FIA should be role models for the sport.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit. Like, they really don't. What they care about is making, what's the word? They want to make an example out of Lewis Hamilton. So that's all they care about.
I just don't get what they're trying to achieve from it, really. It just seems a bit of a bizarre one. But anyway, let us know what your thoughts are, because I do not know.
Yeah.
I do not know. Shall we talk about,
did you see the post on Checo's retirement?
Yes, this is what I wanted to talk about. Sorry. So from what we're hearing, reports are saying that actually if Perez does not get P2 this year, his seat is at risk.
Yeah.
Which, if that is the case, there is a potential that he may retire from the sport.
Yeah, so there was that original, the Reddit post,
yeah,
which I'm sure if you're an F1 fan, you saw on Twitter at some point over the last week. Now, that was essentially saying that Checo's just retiring. Like, that didn't have this P2 stipulation in, did it? I think the P2 stipulation then came further on.
Yeah.
It developed on Twitter. So this original Reddit post was saying that, yeah, basically Checo's retiring at the end of the season. It's done. Dusted. That's it. Now, that's sort of on Twitter been squashed. On Twitter, I mean, this is just mental. Like, none of this is official. It's just all speculation. But some of it makes a lot of sense. You know, Horner came out and said what he said about Checo at Qatar.
Yep.
Apparently, he was told that if he doesn't get P2... When was he told this? He was told this in Japan, was it? Just before Japan?
Yeah.
That if he doesn't get P2 in the championship, he's going to lose his seat. Pretty reasonable, in my opinion. I mean, that car should be comfortably 1-2. And it could explain the shocker that he had in Japan.
It's not even comfortably. It is undoubtedly that. This shouldn't even be a... No one should be close to that P2 right now. Lewis Hamilton shouldn't be as close as he is.
And obviously he'd be a lot closer if he didn't crash out last week.
Yeah.
But we won't talk about that. So.
But he crossed the road, so come on now.
Give him a 100-point deduction. So, you know, it's looking like Checo could be in trouble. Now, potential replacements. Have you seen these?
Danny Ric.
He seemingly the front runner.
Helmut Marko.
Could you imagine?
Jerry Halliwell and Christian Horner.
I wouldn't mind Jerry Halliwell in the car.
It's a bit annoying, isn't she?
What one was she? Ginger Spice.
Yeah.
Ginger and Winger.
Ginger.
But I saw some reports of Sebastian Vettel.
I did also see that, yeah.
Get him in the car.
I'd rate that.
Get him in there now.
And you know what I'd love to see? He absolutely schools Max Verstappen.
That would be nice. I don't think it would happen. Maybe Seb in his prime.
Yeah.
But, you know, is this just a nostalgia thing that we have as F1 fans? Or fans of anything, you know, it's like... Get Ronaldinho back in that Barcelona squad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's like when Michael Schumacher came back to Mercedes and he flunked.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, he'll come in and absolutely smash it. He didn't.
No, but that Mercedes was not as good as that Ferrari. And yeah. Also, he wasn't in his prime. But Sebastian Vettel going into the best car on the grid, that would be interesting. That would be so nice to see. Liam Lawson, there's also the potential for that. Let's not forget about Yuki Tsunoda.
My gut feeling is it wouldn't be Liam Lawson. If he couldn't get that AlphaTauri seat off Danny Ric.
But it's what did they promise Danny Ric? I think that's what we have to consider.
How are we still talking about Danny Ric? Come on now. Like it blows my mind how we're even still talking about Danny Ric.
If he gets that Red Bull seat,
I'll be disgusted.
He's got a better agent than Craig David.
Craig David has had some bangers, though.
That man, he revived his career. Yeah. I stand by it. Best comeback since Jesus.
Yeah, but Danny Ric won't do anything. He just won't. I just don't get what this obsession is with keeping Danny Ric within the sport.
What would you do if he came in and won it?
Well, that would never happen.
You have to divorce Vanessa. If Danny Ric comes back in the sport... and wins it, you have to divorce your wife.
Mate, I'd give you my house. I'm that confident he would not win a championship.
And divorce?
Why am I divorcing my wife?
Well, it's just like a really bad consequence, isn't it?
I don't know. It depends if you ask my wife. She might be delighted.
Get a Danny Ric merch out.
Fee, why are you watching F1 this week? Well, I just want to see if Danny Ric's
just with a big 3 painted on her face. I think, that's anything is possible. That is virtually impossible. But it would be quite interesting.
Red Bull would not allow it.
No, it's low-key embarrassing.
And what I mean is they won't allow it. They wouldn't allow Danny Ric to come in and school Max Verstappen.
But that is, you'd be mortified, wouldn't you, as Max Verstappen? Like, you'd be like, oh.
Yeah, what, that?
He's not really that good then, is he?
You've won like 11 races in your whole career, but now you're absolutely...
Well, it's just like...
You won 19 races in a row. What the hell is going on?
Was it because Checo was just so bad? But, I mean, it's not going to happen. But it would be funny if Danny Ric came in. I think Danny Ric is the wrong choice, honestly.
I just think you're going backwards.
It is going backwards.
You could say that. I know that people will be going back saying, yeah, but you could say that about Fernando Alonso coming back or Sebastian Vettel. These two are world champions, okay? I get more enjoyment out of watching Fernando Alonso and Sebastian Vettel racing than I do Danny Ric.
They've got the stats to back it up. And, yeah. You know, four or five years ago that Seb was competing for the title against Lewis in a Ferrari, so...
Do you know in his final season, Danny Ric's fastest lap, do you know which one that was?
No, how would I know that?
When he rode that horse down the pit lane in America. That was the fastest he went.
Yeah. No, it's true.
In his final season.
He had such a shocking season and... You know, it's easy to compare that to Seb, but Seb had a shite car.
Yeah.
That Aston Martin was... tragic.
Yeah. May I just say, okay, I love Danny Ric as a person. I think he's brilliant. But from a F1 fan point of view, watching F1, if you gave me a choice out of watching Sebastian Vettel or Danny Rick. Give me Sebastian Vettel any day.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think it will happen.
No.
But that would make things very interesting.
Give me Montoya.
He must be an old boy now. He's got to be 50.
I don't know how we're going around in circles. I don't know how this guy didn't really achieve much in Red Bull, went to Renault, jumped ship very, very quickly after two seasons, then goes to McLaren, achieves nothing apart from a win at Monza, and somehow he's back in F1.
Yeah. I told you, great agent.
Don't get me wrong, there's still some shocking drivers in F1 at the moment. Sargeant.
There are drivers worse than Danny Rick.
Yeah.
But it's just, I imagine his wages are not too pretty.
No.
So it's, can you justify paying all that?
Yeah.
And as a team like Red Bull, do you really replace Sergio Perez with Daniel Ricciardo? It's probably not the wisest move.
No. I think if you're Red Bull, you've surely got to be looking at, okay, let's bring in a younger talent. Whether that's someone like Lan...
Promote Yuki.
Yeah. I think.
And then you can bring Lawson in.
I think Yuki would do all right.
I think so.
I would love to see him shouting down the radio at Christian Horner.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Go faster. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, that would
I'm
be
driving.
Good.
Driving.
I would like that.
Yeah.
We should petition to get Yuki Tsunoda in that seat if Perez goes.
We'll see.
People have got it sooner. Alex Albon, he got thrown in that seat.
I would even give it to Alex Albon. I love Alex Albon.
I do love Alex Albon.
I am a big fan of...
But I think he's bought into the Williams project now, and he saw how quickly Red Bull dropped him. I think he'd probably look at it and be like, with Williams, I've probably got a career for life. He could race for that team for the next 10 years, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Whereas Red Bull, it's going to be very year to year.
But surely he has ambitions, doesn't he?
I'm sure Williams do.
Yeah, I'd love to see Williams back up there.
Yeah, give him time. Give him time.
Lance Stroll has apologised to FIA over his behaviour at Qatar. That's all right. So Lewis Hamilton walks along a track. Outrageous, awful role model. Lance Stroll launches his 100 grand... steering wheel, gets out, pushes his physio. Luke doesn't mind it because he promotes pushing people around.
I just respected the...
Isn't he a role model?
Yeah, no, he is. I mean, yeah.
That's
bad in theory. Yeah, he is promoting physical violence to your team.
So, okay, give me this. So you're looking at both on paper, okay? You're not an F1 fan. You're looking at it and going, okay, this guy's just walked along a track.
No, Lance did was much worse.
Yeah, 100%. But... You know, did he get a fine? Let me have a look.
No.
Stroll threw his steering wheel out of the car and shoved his trainer out of the way after qualifying 16th. FIA spokesman said the compliance officer had received an apology and issued an official warning to Stroll. Ooh.
He's not going to sleep tonight.
Oh, God. The FIA maintains a zero-tolerance stance against misconduct and condemns any actions that may lead to physical harassment.
It clearly doesn't have a zero tolerance policy.
No.
If all they did was give him a warning.
Yeah.
Zero tolerance. That's like people doing drugs in a club. The bouncer doesn't come over and say, mate, please put that away. They grab you by the throat and they throw you out.
Yeah.
So that's not a zero tolerance policy, is it?
No.
So... Yeah, there is double standards. Look, I stand by the fact. I respect Lance Stroll for it. It showed for me that he had a bit of passion and he did have the fire in his belly, which I think everyone thinks he doesn't have. But yeah, if we're talking standards, I don't. Lewis was right to pay a 50k fine. But that's it.
Yeah.
That's where it should end. But Lance said sorry, and I mean, but in my opinion, that's enough as well. Like, you know, it's an internal thing. It's a personal thing. They're adults. They can deal with it themselves. But, yeah, I mean, they really showed him anyway with that. He won't be doing that again. Oh,
this weekend. Disney Plus set release date for 4-part F1 documentary series on Braun GP. Have you seen this?
No, but I will watch it. When is it?
So Disney Plus has set a 15th of November release date for a Keanu Reeves presented documentary series on the Braun GP team's famous romp to the 2009 world title. This looks cool.
When does it come out?
15th of November.
Oh.
The series Braun, the impossible Formula One story, will recount the tale of Ross Braun saving the former Honda Works team after the Japanese manufacturer decided to quit F1. It features interviews with several main people, including Braun himself, drivers Jenson Button, Barrichello, Nick Frye, Christian Horner. I'm actually quite excited for it. I think I like this type of stuff. I think it'd be good. And I think what Braun did that season was phenomenal.
Yeah, well, I mean, they found a loophole in the regs and exploited the fuck out of it. And then
until the rest of the teams caught up halfway through, and it was too late.
Yeah, it was too late. They were already gone. So,
excuse me, lads, have you thought of this?
No, that was a really interesting season. And I loved that Braun car, the way it looked.
And the yellow, wasn't yellow, was it?
It was the like lime green. Lime green. And the white was just the Virgin sponsored by you, wasn't it? And seeing Jenson Button win.
And when was that, 2009?
It was probably true, wasn't it? How old were you then? 32?
41 then, I think.
Definitely still a virgin.
40-year-old virgin. How old was I in 2009?
You born in 88, weren't you?
Yeah. 21?
Definitely a virgin.
No.
Definitely a virgin.
No, I was always out.
Main sponsor.
MJ.
But, yeah, and obviously I was happy that Jenson Button won.
Yeah, 100%. Right, shall we talk racing? This weekend, United States Grand Prix.
I love this one. I love it. I love the track. I love the vibe of the weekend. It's like, I hate the vibe at Miami.
Yeah, I don't.
It's like artificially American, whereas Texas is always like, this is genuine American. It's like, it's not to the point where it's like, oh my God, it's so commercial. It's just cringy.
So if you're asking me to rank at this moment in time, this season, what I'm most looking forward to out of the three, it would go Vegas, Texas, Miami.
And yeah, naturally, and Vegas is only because it's a new track.
Yeah, but I like the track layout. From what we've played on F1, I like the track layout. And if I had to pick between, the only thing...
Yeah, but you're not very good at corners on F1, so that's why you like Las Vegas.
Yeah, anything...
And that's why you don't like COTA.
Anything simple.
Yeah, which Las Vegas is just an accumulation of straights.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to have the really, really horrible ultra American capitalism commercialized dribble through Las Vegas that is going to piss me off a little bit. Whereas I'm all for American culture, right? Because I think it's hilarious and it's unique in its own way. And I think you really get to see the best of that in Texas.
Yeah.
I think they strike the things that we associate America with and the commercialism, capitalism stuff really well. Whereas I think you see it in Miami where it all feels well like artificial and it's all like money centric.
But it is artificial. Have you seen the sea?
No,
the
I water. Know. But like everything about it is just like, I don't know, it's kind of like what people actually hate about America.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like you go to COTA and it's like, yeah, this is actually what people love about it.
Do you think Martin Brundle will interview Megan Thee Stallion again this year?
I'd be surprised if she's invited back on the grid.
Yeah, me too.
But I also love the timings.
Would you like to know the timings?
I would.
So, the 20th of October, which is Friday, FP1 is 6:30 to 7:30. Decent.
Lovely.
Qualifying. Oh, it's a sprint this weekend as well.
It is a sprint weekend.
So qualifying is 10 to 11.
Congratulations, Max Verstappen.
Yep. Is 10 to 11 on Friday. The sprint shootout in Saturday is 18:30, 6:30 till 18:30. Well, no, because I saw the next thing. So
they're riding on horses.
6:30 to 7:14.
Yep. Which is weird, by the way. Why, honestly, just make it 7:15.
Yeah. And the sprint race is 11 till midnight. That's a bit rubbish.
Mm.
I'd have liked it like it,
Grandpa say, Jackson will be in bed by then.
100%, mate. 9 o'clock would have been all right. 9, 10 o'clock would have been.
See, I'm excited. It will keep me up.
Yeah.
I'm not going out this weekend. Well, I'm going to have a few beers on Saturday.
What's going on? You feeling all right?
I've had three very heavy weekends. Yeah. It's probably more than three, thinking about it. I've been on a roll recently. And I kind of just want a break.
Well, fair enough, fair enough. And the race on Sunday is 8 o'clock.
Yeah, which is lovely. Decent. Do you know where I watched... where did I watch it last year? The year before, I was in Dubai Airport when it was Lewis versus Max.
Were you?
Yep, I was in the Emirates Business Class Lounge.
Nice. Where had you been?
Dubai.
Had you transferred into Dubai?
Or no,
you,
no, no, no. I'd, actually in Dubai? I'd been in Sorry. Dubai.
I thought you meant you, it wasn't a stupid question. I thought you came in from somewhere to
Dubai. sat like they got like lovely food there. Sat with Malfoy.
Yeah.
Just eating it, watching it, and then getting progressively more and more angry.
Mm.
But more. Then last year, it was another great race between Lewis and Max. And I know you don't want to hear it, but we are getting a new...
Oh, if you... No, 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 no.
We're getting a new floor this week.
I don't care. I do not want to listen about freaking upgrades because...
It's a new floor.
Nothing changes.
But this new floor will.
Well, we'll fool you.
But now, to be fair, James Allison said it's probably not going to bring a great deal of performance.
Oh, good.
Brilliant. But it's more... Teams are starting to bring stuff for next year's cars.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a competitive Mercedes.
Well, I hope so.
We saw it there last year. Yeah. And this car is an improvement on last year's car, but it is different, obviously. Yeah. Now we've had the addition of the side pods, but... Yeah. I don't know what to expect weekend to weekend.
I can. Max Verstappen win.
Yeah, other than that.
Okay. Do you want a little quiz?
Yeah.
First Grand Prix held. Sorry, we haven't gone.
2007.
2012. Number of laps.
Oh, I actually think I know this.
Oh.
It's in the 50s.
Yep.
53.
56.
Fuck, that was my other guess.
Why didn't you say that one?
Because I thought it was 53.
See, that's your problem.
But I was like, it's either 53 or 56, and then I was like, 53.
That's the wrong answer.
Yeah.
Lap record and held by who? I can tell you it was 2019.
Yeah, now this is a weird one, because I feel like it's either like Charles Leclerc or Valtteri Bottas. I'm going to go Bottas.
Wrong.
Charles Leclerc.
Yep.
Fuck. See, that was good knowledge, though. And I'm going to say, what have we got? 53 laps? A 1:27.6?
1:36.1. So, race results last year, obviously, Max Verstappen won. Shock. Hamilton was P2, Leclerc P3. I remember Sainz, he got taken out in the first corner, didn't he?
Yeah, where did Sainz qualify?
He was P1, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then didn't George take him out?
Was it George who took him out?
It was definitely George that took him out.
Let me have a look at starting grid. Yeah, Carlos Sainz was P1. Russell was P4.
George definitely took him out.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then all of a sudden they were like, just bring the car in. Let's not bother.
Well, I mean, he went like dead last.
Can you guess how many seconds Latifi was behind Max Verstappen?
Well, I mean, he would have been... lapped.
Well, he was last because Stroll, Bottas.
Obviously, he was last. You didn't need to clear that up. Like, I know he was last.
Okay, the two. So in P16 was Danny Rick. How many seconds do you think he was behind? And Latifi. So let's start off with Danny Rick.
1 minute 56.
So 90 seconds. So
oh, that's 1 minute 30.
1 minute 30. That was Danny Rick. Latifi.
110 seconds.
103 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, that's shocking, isn't it? The thing is, I just don't... There can't be that much difference in a car. In an F1 car. There, because that's... I mean, Latifi is like almost 2 seconds per lap across the whole race.
Yeah.
Was it 2 seconds quicker? No. Like, the car wasn't.
No.
There's, I don't think... The only time we've probably... At least in, you know, recently, the only time you've probably genuinely seen, like, a 2 second gap between cars is the 21 Haas, where they were genuinely probably 2 seconds a lap slower.
Yeah.
Just car than any other car.
Yeah, no, I think there's not many, is there?
No, and I know we've had some shit teams over the years that have come in, but that, where, you know, where was George Russell in that? Not George Russell. Yeah, he was there in 21, wasn't he?
He was.
Is that what we're looking at, or 22?
22 I was looking at. He was in Williams still in 21.
Who was Latifi's teammate last year?
Albon.
Albon was there last year?
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, mate.
What? Was he?
Yes.
I swear down, I do not remember that.
Yeah, Albon was, he was P13.
Wow.
Last year was when Albon did the whole, in Melbourne, wasn't it? Last year? On hards?
Oh, shit. Yeah, it was. Was yeah. that? Yeah, that was.
Yeah, yeah. That was last year.
Fuck yeah. God, that's, time goes so quick. It's, yeah. It's pretty scary.
I'm glad you're with it. So, some of the big talking points. Will McLaren's resurgence be stopped? It's interesting, this one, because...
Be stopped?
What? I don't... I don't think...
Well, they're expecting cars to lay out banana skins in front of it. What?
The interesting thing is, what showed in Qatar is Mercedes would have been stronger than McLaren if...
100%.
And McLaren have... been good, but I still think Mercedes have that edge still.
Yeah,
as long as they don't take each other out. So
and it varies so heavily track to track.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, McLaren seemed to have struggled more through the slower corners, which is why I was surprised that the Mercedes did appear to be quicker than them this weekend.
Yeah,
particularly in race pace, and you can look at that through George Russell. So. It's so hard to predict where, other than Red Bull, it is hard to predict what teams are going to be like. So
I think it's going to be back and forth between Mercedes and McLaren to the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean,
with a little bit of Ferrari in there.
Can McLaren get P3 in the championship?
No, I don't think they can. P4.
I know they can definitely get P4.
Yeah.
But... We know what Ferrari are capable of in terms of bottling it.
Yep. Yeah, true.
I know that, I mean, I cannot believe that Aston Martin are going to end up P5. I find that pretty remarkable. Where are the standings? Right. Constructors. Ferrari's pretty...
They're pretty ahead, aren't they?
Yeah, there's 70 points in it, or 69.
Grow up, man.
I don't even think it's 69, is it? It's just not. It's 79. Kind of embarrassing. But, yeah, so that is... that's not going to happen, but... Yeah, they are going to take P4 in the constructors.
Yep.
Top three this week?
Max, Lewis, Lando.
Oh, see, I'm going Max, Lewis, George.
Oh.
Yeah, I think Mercedes will be strong this
weekend. I'm going to change. I don't even think it'll be Lando. Piastri.
Oh, that's controversial.
Piastri is on a roll.
He is. He does have significantly less points than Lando.
He does, but you've got to remember, he's easing his way in. And now that performance in Qatar, he's levelled up. That was a very, very mature performance.
Well, let's see. I mean, I'm still going to back Lewis, George, Lewis, Max. Max, Lewis, George. I think we'll likely see the McLarens ahead of the Ferraris.
Yeah.
I personally think Lando is going to finish ahead of Piastri this race.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, you know, they have got a clearly very strong partnership.
Yeah. Yeah. Max, Lewis, Piastri. That's what I'm going for. Let us know who you're going to go for. Danny Ric returns this weekend.
Nice.
Bye, Liam Lawson. He's gone.
Let's see how he does. We'll judge him next week. We're going to heavily judge Danny Ric.
Yeah, but we can't judge him because he's been out. He's had an injury. We have to be nice. Give him a few races to come in. Then before you know it, it's the end of the season. Well, it was a bit tough to really get going, really, was it? Let's see what he does next year.
He's an elite level driver.
Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. And I think that is it.
That is it.
So, guys, let us know. Get involved. Let us know what your thoughts are. Do you agree with what we said? Do you not? We've spoken about some helmets this episode.
We have.
Lewis, is he being unfairly treated by the FIA? Let us know on that as well. Who's your top three for this weekend? And we'll be back next week reviewing the Austin Grand Prix. And hopefully, we see a Lewis Hamilton win. That's all I want to see this year. Just a nice little Lewis Hamilton win. Not asking a lot.
I honestly have no other wish in the world.
What about winning a lottery?
Other than that.
All right. So you have an option, okay. Lewis Hamilton can win his 8th title or you win the lottery.
I win the lottery.
But you're depriving millions of fans.
Not my problem.
But what I didn't say is when you're winning a lottery, it's 20 quid.
Well, then obviously Lewis to me.
Well, you said you want to win the lottery.
Yeah, but typically when you say I've won the lottery, it means you've won the lottery. You haven't just won like a lucky dip.
Yeah, good lucky dip. Right, guys, have a good week and we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.